Hello and welcome back to the Riverside City Podcast, Season 2, Cape School. I'm Paul, your Game Master, and with me I have Natalie, who plays Athena.
Hi.
Mike, who plays Sal.
Hi.
And last but not least, Art, who plays Chris.
Hello.
This is the third attempt, and I had to speak very slowly. Jiminy fucking Christmas. Whoa! So if we sound exasperated or they're laughing their asses off, that's why.
Holy shit!
Three fucking attempts.
Oh my god.
I hope I don't lisp the whole episode because this will be a bitch to edit if it happens. God damn.
I don't believe it.
Fuck. Alright. Mike, question of the day.
Question of the day is, what is everyone's favorite Halloween candy? Whether that's what you get trick-or-treating or is only around during the Halloween season.
Facts.
Because, honestly, I like candy corn. I know other people don't. But Mike, personally, I love that stuff.
Dude,
I only find it on Halloween.
I just snack on it. It's nothing. It's just sweet.
Yeah.
No problems with it. Alright, you go first because it's your question.
He just answered.
No,
I
said Mike.
Oh.
What's Sal?
Sorry.
It's more of a fall, but I want to say he'd go with, like caramel apples. It's not exactly, like, a Halloween candy.
Is it caramel? It's a candy.
Yes, but it's not something you get while trick-or-treating.
I used to get them as kids. As a kid. There was the one house that used to give them out.
And then all the, danger about that.
Yep. But yeah, caramel apples. It seems legit. Nell, you're next.
I was looking at pictures of them, and personally, Natalie, I think my favorite is the little tiny Hershey's. You know, the ones that are, like, about, like, yay big?
Yeah, the Hershey's minis.
Yeah, they're about that size.
Oh, bars.
The Hershey bar, the mini ones that you get, like, the multi-pack of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here I'm thinking like Hershey's Kisses or whatever, like the really, really tiny.
No, the mini Hershey bars.
Mini Hershey bars. But for Athena, I wrote popcorn ball.
Athena likes popcorn ball.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I can't stand it, but I can see that. Stale popcorn, I'm good. Art, what you got?
Probably gonna be like a Nestle's Crunch.
My guy, I can't stand the company, but I would love me a Crunch bar. It's one of the few things I eat that Nestle makes.
Bunch of Crunch is the best.
Although Kit Kats are
Art's fit. Do you remember when I had a fucking container of Kit Kats I was handing out to you? I did not realize that I was making your day.
Oh, yeah.
That's an easy one to do. Yeah. All right. When last we left off, they were kind of making decisions on what they were going to be buying before going into the Clash.
I almost fell asleep.
Their ill-gotten gains, slash not ill-gotten in this case. This isn't the Hood campaign. Natalie was falling asleep. So we were like, let's call it here. Click. So I believe Chris had his picks already done.
Yep.
So you're buying some healing potions,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And what exactly did you get?
So I bought two of the 2d4 plus 2s, two of the 4d4 plus 4s, and one of the 8d4 plus 8s.
Alrighty, and that was for a grand total of...
32 copper and 2 silver.
32 copper?
I stole from the party loot, because I figured 2 points of that. Because you gave me a two... I bought in volume.
Got it.
Yep, you gave me a 2 copper discount.
My healing potions. I'm just trying healing potions. I trust you'll have that shit written down. Alright, Mike, do you know what you want? Yeah, do you want a little more time?
I was looking at an item, but I figure you'll probably say no.
Hit me!
Are you familiar with the Dragon Vessel? It's basically a once-a-day fill up with potion of your choice of a small list.
No, I'm not familiar. Where is it from?
Fizbins.
I like Fizbins. There's nothing, cracked in there. There's some good stuff, but nothing cracked.
At an uncommon level, as a bonus action, if the vessel is empty, you can speak a command word, fill the vessel with one of the following, your choice, ale, olive oil, a healing potion, or a potion of climbing. Once this property is used, it can't be used until the next dawn. A potion you create this way loses its magical property if it isn't.
Once a day, one healing potion? Go nuts.
How much?
Pretty minor. But let's say 10 coppers.
How much is that in silver?
Borrow from the party for the
remaining copper. We have party's over.
Yeah, party copper to make your thing. Okay. That is none of your silvers. So you still have however many silvers you have if you'd like something else to go with it.
Honestly, I can never think of anything that I need.
Would you like help?
I mean, sure. I only have 3 copper, so that goes towards,
yeah. Yeah. So you could use something like a javelin of lightning. You know, something like an elemental grenade.
Does the javelin of lightning return?
Yeah, it does. No, in this edition, does it in this edition?
No, I believe it's a one-shot item.
Is it still? I wasn't sure.
I believe.
Javelin of lightning.
It's one of those that I like giving out as a
I always GM I give it all the time.
It's, you know, it's one of those that it's.
It can't be used again until the next dawn.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. So they did change it.
Yeah, it's either a 120 foot line for 46 lightning, or it's a ranged attack that does 46 lightning.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that's actually that good for you. Now that I read it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would let you buy a bracer of elemental grenades.
Okay.
Let's say 5 silvers, and it would buy you. You would have to spend 5, but you could get 5 elemental grenades of your choice. Of the 5 basic elements, the chromatic orb elements.
Okay.
Whatever.
Probably.
Combination.
If they're 5 elements for that, just one of each.
That's fine. And then you can do, and they'll do, let's say 5d8, dex save 15. Or relevant save 15. Make sense to you?
Yep.
5 elemental grenades, 1 per 5d. It's a 5d8, right? That's what I said?
Yes.
Save 4. DC 15, save 4, half. Okay, Natalie, I believe you wanted something to do with your elemental arrows.
I wanted to buy. I'm going to get cold arrows.
Okay, the disposable elemental arrows. Yeah. So, and how many would you like of the cold arrows?
10, please.
So, I believe the last time it was 7 for 10? Alright.
I believe so.
Because you got a discount for buying more.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you like 10? So, it'd be 7 coppers.
Okay. And then...
And are those the turn all the damage into cold, or are they just adding the D6 of cold?
Adding the D6 of cold.
Okay, you don't want to turn the whole arrow into cold. That's what I was asking. Okay, and then, because that could be really good or really bad, depending on what you're hitting. And then, you said something about your elemental bowstring you wanted to try and upgrade. How many silver do you have?
I have 7 silver.
For all of your silver, you can get an extra use per day.
I'll take that.
And 1 use to elemental bowstring. Cool. Alright, I believe that's everybody. And you have nothing else you want to buy that's mechanical?
Could I buy a deck of many things?
No.
Damn.
Sorry, fresh out forever. And this is as a DM.
It's so much fun when we would do it with...
It's as a DM who has given them out probably a half a dozen times. Not in this campaign. Not in a podcast.
18
What
silver.
Is the radius on the grenades?
Standard grenade radius, which I actually have the number up for. I want to say it's 15 foot.
Alright, let me fix
adopt. Yeah, 15 foot for grenades. So they hit slightly less hard than an energy cell grenade, okay. Which were 5d10.
And I have to buy more later? Or regen?
Yeah, I'm going to say... they'll regen every 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
So twice a month you can use them, basically.
No, but it says 1d8, Paul. Is it still 1d8 for gold?
Yes. Whatever the fire does, it's the same. But I'm not changing that now. Okay, cool. So, All right, and Chris, you know nothing mechanical you want? I'm just asking one more time.
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, my Runewood staff.
Are you saving up for something bigger?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Although I've considered the pipes of the sewer.
You have to keep blowing it for him to work, though.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. It's like an egg gearing container, I want to say, or is it? No, it's a bandolier that they just slowly recharge like a fluid inside, and they're unusable until they're full.
I'd say bracer. Grab it from behind the shield or whatever.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, but yeah, it basically fills like a vial, and inside you can see, and when it's full, it glows versus it just being dull.
Yeah,
and it tells you when it's free to you and it's ready to use.
Cool.
So technically, they all have their individual recharges.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're going to keep track of that, not my ass.
Yep.
Okay. Because I won't be. I'll just say it doesn't work if one of them is not tracked.
Yep.
Okay. So, it is the day of the clash, y'all. Y'all excited? We've been talking about this for real lifetime, a year and a half.
Yeah.
And in game time, also a year and a half. Almost like I planned it. All right.
Did you?
Yes. Fully. So, you guys are going to be traveling to London for the clash. If I had a different location in mind, it has changed because this is what I have planned. And it's been a year and a half, and shit changes over that course of time. Anyway, so you guys are going to be teleportation potted in because they're not going to make you take the damn... take a plane because flying up over the seas before a competition would suck. And they're flying you in the morning before so you can do your touristy shit before you go. Okay? Natalie has a very minor advantage because this is actually the same location as the last clash, which she played in the Masks game that helped generate this world.
Literally asked this morning, hey, is it gonna be like the one when we were in London? And he goes, maybe.
Yes. So there is a cool shop that if you can remember where it is, you can go to it. But you have to remember where it is, or try and find it.
It's a magic shop.
But what's it called?
I don't remember, but I do know that she went in there.
Yep, but you're not that character.
I'm not that character.
Anyway, so Natalie brought up an idea, and I'll let her talk about it here.
So, hold on, I'm not close enough.
No, you're not.
I'm not close at all. So, I told Paul about an idea that I had, which is that I want to wear a cape that says, Atletico can suck it. And I think Chris should wear one that says that Atletico is run by Nazis.
Yep.
Actual Nazis.
With a little subtext underneath it. Have you checked where your senator's money is coming from?
Now, you know, this is the international clash. This is every country in the free world is watching.
Have you checked where your... Actually, it would not be...
Representative?
Where your representatives are getting their money from.
Yep.
I mean, if you guys want to do that, you're not going to break my game. So go do whatever your heart says do. I roll with the punch with the best of them.
Well, if us two have something on our cape, I feel like... You shook. No, damn.
Human experimentation is wrong.
I am not.
That's the walking experiment.
That was a joke, yeah.
The last two people on this team were a robot and in a ghost dimension.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, if we're going to do it, it's going to be subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'll be the shiny black on a black cape,
oh, yes.
So it doesn't stand out.
Until they take a picture of it and it flashes and you can read it?
Yep.
Oh my god, that's evil. I love it.
Just us with our backs to the camera.
Yeah. No, it's going to be more fun when they're filming things and all of a sudden they get this flash. What did that say?
Oh gosh, what did that say?
All right, well, that works for me. So you guys do that?
Yeah.
You get your individual cloaks. Do you, what does Sal do one, or is he letting it be the two OGs only?
I'll let you guys do that. You guys have a bone to pick with Athletico, so
that is true.
I will protect you.
Thank
that is
you.
My job.
I do not know the shit and I'm getting into.
I will laugh my ass off at, with you.
Fantastic.
Fab, you. I don't need this. I'm using the smart. I'm doing the smart today. I built smart. Encounters in the
there you system. Go.
I just click buttons and have things work.
Oh god, we're all gonna die.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
All
right.
That's a big boy.
I think. You guys get your capes. So do you tell Bridget about it beforehand?
I think Bridget sees us working on it.
Bridget would know even if we didn't. Tell
Bridget doesn't have a shirt that says "Read their cloaks."
Oh yeah.
I was going to say, she'd be behind us all the way.
Yes.
Bridget's pretty much ride or die with you guys. You've realized that when you graduate, she might come with you. It'd be a decision she has to make. Man, she'd be a great controller. Like, not like in combat, but the guy in the chair.
Yep.
Boy, howdy, would she be good at that job.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so... It is done. Got it. All right. So, you guys are going to travel to London. I'm going to assume that we do the time shit so that no one's too fucked. Basically, they're 5 hours ahead. They're 5 hours ahead of you, so that's all. We're GMT minus five. That's central time. So, you guys are zapped over, and you're left there in the... It is the morning. Hold on, I have a time. What was the day here?
Morning of the...
30th. I'm just looking for a date, man. Just looking for a date.
Because if I remember it, you said Halloween was...
Monday shit went down on 10/28. The girl was here, don't compete or else, which actually was the Revenants.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah, no, so that was 2 days. So they're going to drop you on the morning of Wednesday the 30th so you can get acclimated for a day before the competition. So you have 1 day to do touristy things, if and you want. Would you like to do touristy things?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I want to find that fucking magic shop.
You don't know it exists.
And we're too young to go to a bar.
Damn it.
So what do you guys want to do?
It's the home of the company that produces that game that I play. So let's. I'd love to go visit that.
Oh,
the GW.
The
GW factory or the GW headquarters,
or just one of their legitimate shops, not just a local gaming store supplier, because they actually have official GW stores.
They do. They do in the States too.
Yeah.
They're really expensive.
Few and far between.
But no one goes there. They're too expensive.
Yeah.
With the exception of their sale days. But anyway. So yeah, you can... it's in...
Whether or not they want to... They want to go over.
No, the headquarters.
Don't believe so.
Which I found out...
It's in Nottingham.
Okay. They are thieves. Okay. Yeah. All right, legalized thievery. Come on, I mean, it's like that's a fucking right on there. All right, so you want to go there? Yeah, it'll take probably a couple hours to get there. So it's about 10 a.m. ish when you get there. They have a really big store. You explore. You have a request from your wargaming buddies to pick up specific models that are only available there.
Yeah,
they sent money. They actually sent money so you could buy something too.
They want Forge World stuff.
I mean, yeah. Is that also there, or is it no? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They want Forge World stuff. It's really expensive, and they shell out and they offer to buy you one tank or large figure of your choice.
Yeah.
On their dime.
Cool.
So it's you'll find that it's packed like consistently. You don't understand. You've never seen a wargaming shop this packed. But anyway, so it was a good trip up. Call number on D12. We'll see if anything interesting happens while you're there.
I like 7.
I know. But I have to ask.
Yeah.
Nothing interesting.
Yeah.
So, after that, who wants to, does anyone else have anything they want to go do touristy-wise? Any sights you want to see, or...
go to a play.
Where?
Any.
West End. Theater District.
Is there a particular theater that you have in mind, or no? Okay. Just the West End. Yeah, you can probably, you can almost for sure find a play.
There's lots of
them. I'm gonna say it's probably like Midsummer Night's Dream or something. It's a classic that's playing. Roll for intro. What's an interesting number for you?
My luck has still been bad, so 3.
12.
Yeah.
So that's within 3.
Yeah.
It's within 3. 1, 2, 3. No, it's not. It's within 3, 2, 1. Nope. Same number says. Alright. Wow, putting that away. I'm gonna need it again. Alright, Natalie, what is your touristy thing you want to go do in the morning? You're all instructed to come back by like 3 o'clock, so.
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. Maybe like. Do like that Big Ben pose where you're like leaning on it. Or like doing like the back, your back to it and your arms are crossed. Kind of touristy pictures.
So touristy pictures of different locations or just Big Ben?
Different locations.
Okay, what's your number? Good number on D12. What's the number on D12?
6. Are you serious?
I can't make it up, man. You got it dead on.
Yay!
So. As you're kind of walking around, you're taking photos, and you're almost sure that Bridget's with you.
Of course, always.
Because he's in a... You know, they all have drones watching them, but, like, you're the one actively being followed. And you get a little buzz in your ear, and she says, the team from the block is behind you.
The team from the block is behind
me. And they don't appear aggressive.
Okay.
Either turn around and face them, or make them move.
Got it. Goes invisible.
Turn a corner. Turn invisible.
Yep. Turn a corner. Go invisible.
So you, when you go look to see who's following you, there's a gorgeous long blonde hair woman, a build similar to yours, maybe a little more muscular.
Okay.
Walking around, and she says she was just there. She says all I wanted to do was say thank you. He's so good. The really big guy. Pats on the back and says, "It's okay. We will see at the competition." And those are the only two you see. The third guy is missing from their team, or the third person.
I was gonna say they were chill, weren't they?
You never met them.
Oh, why do they want to thank me?
You don't know.
I'm not going to because it feels like a trick. They don't know who I am, then I don't want to.
Oh no, they know who you are.
Oh, I know they know who I am. I don't know who they are.
If you ask for a dossier, you'll get it from Bridget.
Psst. Can I have a dossier? Bridget, can I have a dossier? On those two.
Yeah, she sends you over one. Her name is Krasnia Orla, also known as Red Eagle. She's 16 years old, long blonde hair. She is an aerial combatant with super strength and speed. Flight super strength and super speed. She's a tour de force.
Okay.
She's the block's... No, star pupil. Then the other person is the oldest on the team. He's 18. His name is Severny. Viter, or Northern Wind. And he's 18, short silver hair, and he is stoic, and he's the brains of the operation.
Okay.
He has ice powers. So yeah, but she says, as far as we can tell, they were looking for anyone on your team who stayed in the city, and they've been looking for they've sent out feelers to the FSA asking so they can just talk to you.
Okay.
We'll hang after.
It'll be fine.
Okay. So you go take a bunch of photos. So Athena finishes out her touristy stuff. Would you like to try and find anything fancy?
Perhaps like a magic shop.
Maybe.
Perhaps. If I said maybe possibly an 8.
7. All right. I'm gonna say the other guys. Yes! I'm gonna say the other guys have rejoined you, and I was only gonna give you one on either side. So
really?
Yeah. Yes. So you, the other guys have rejoined you, and you're kind of just wandering through the wet. Hold on, I actually have a map.
You printed a map of London?
I printed a physical map. Yes. You guys are kind of hanging out over on the west embankment of the Thames, over by Somerset House and Leicester Square. North of the Eye, almost by like Blackfriars, and there's a tiny hole in the wall shop you run into, and I want to just say it's called like.
Oh, you don't even remember it, son of a bitch!
It's the Mystical Emporium.
Oh, I do remember
and
that.
And you're like, the fuck is this place? And you go inside, and it's a bunch of
nothing. It's like a
souvenir shop almost.
Yeah.
Hmm. However, Chris, you've got real magic. This shit's all really magical. It's just like a bubble wand that never runs out. It's a hat that you can pull endless rags out of then on the 100th rag, the first rag starts to disappear. It's magic, and behind the counter is a shaggy haired guy, just seems to be living his best life, but you get the vibe that he's got voodoo, he's got mojo, and he looks at you and his eyes flash like, you know, with a. You see it, like, as he widens his eyes strangely for a second, and then he looks at you, and he gives you an up nod. He says, and he kind of, like, motions for you to come over to him.
Okay.
The other two don't have real magic. He doesn't really look at you much. He isn't rude to you. If you ask questions, he'll answer. But unless you can do real magic, he doesn't actively seek you out. So he says, welcome to the shop.
Thank you.
Anything I can help you with?
No, I'm just here in London for we're one of the teams in the Clash.
I remember the last group who won the Clash about, 10 years ago now? You know, it was the one they tried to bring it back with 10 years ago. Didn't work out, but it was a good show. I think it was Winter and Shade, Core, Morty, and Roaring Dragon. That was them.
No, he would remember Shade first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Winter was most excited, and she had real magic, so he listened to her. He says, I haven't talked to them, you know, much since, but they stopped in, they bought a few things, you know, they I'm not saying it helped, but I'm just saying they came and visited, and sometimes that's enough.
I have an odd request.
I have an odd shop.
I know, that's why I figured I'll ask it. I want a little bag that I can always pull out a small little candy treat.
Yeah, that's pretty simple.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, part of the, you know, going way back in the time machine, the fourth doctor had the bag of
jelly babies
that always seemed to be full. I always handed them out. It's a good way to break the ice. I don't suppose you have something like that.
I for sure do. He walks. He says, "Give me just a minute." He walks him back. He comes back. He walks here and rustling around a couple banged drawers. Swore once because he obviously like stubbed his toe or something. He comes back with a velvet drawstring pouch about, you know, half the size of this. You know, like so about 3 inches by 3 inches by like an, you know, an inch deep. He says, "Yeah." He says, "They should be able to pull out." I think this one's butterscotches.
That'll work.
Yeah, you can pull out like Werther's style, Werther's hard butterscotches. The owner of the company, well, their grandmother enchanted this for me, so these are real. All right, he says, "Oh, sorry, I misspoke. It was butterscotch. It was not butterscotches. It was caramels. Werther's caramels."
Still works.
And you know what? You got away with plants, right?
Yes.
I got an old tree out back who could use a little bit of help. You help me out.
Let me go talk to it and right. See what's wrong with it.
You come back and this oak is. You talk to it and it's 900 years old or so. It's fucking old. And it says, "Hello,
hi,
tree friend.
How are you? What's old. Going on? Yes, I know you're old.
Tired."
Yeah.
"My roots are deep and into the river. And the river's like 1,000 feet away. It's fucking way away. I'm old and tired.
What can I do for you?"
"I don't know. You can make me... You really can't make me grow anymore."
"No, I wouldn't want to make you grow anymore."
"No. And shrinking would be just as bad. I mean... I sense the seeds of some of my brethren on you."
"Yeah, I
have..." "Could you take a few of my acorns with you?"
"I would be happy to take some acorns with me."
"And then..."
I will be happy to...
He says, "And then tell Roy it's my time to go." Aww. He says, "I have dry rot all throughout myself. Throughout, there's nothing he could do."
"So, when I will let him know that when the time comes and he needs a new one, I will bring one of your progeny back."
"That'd be excellent. If you could grow him in my spot, I've got..."
"Yes.
I have a pretty, I've killed many evil spirits trying to attack the shop, and I've gathered their soul energy from my for whatever tree takes my place."
"All right."
"He is not just an oak. He is a spiritual oak. It's a special like kind of oak that they actually eat evil spirits when they get within range. And this thing's range is like a mile. This one tree has been protecting this entire district for years. When it goes, it's going to get real scary to live here. Unless you bring another one back."
Mm-hmm. "And how many acorns does he..."
He says, I haven't had many in a long time." He says, "I have three." And he unfurls a knot. And there are three acorns perfectly preserved within.
Okay.
And they're not like the brown you're expecting. They're like a silverish white.
"And this is... what's the name of the shop again?"
"The Mystical Emporium. By Somerset House."
For flavor, I want to ask him. "So you knew you've met YouTube video sensation Roaring Dragon? You met YouTube sensation Roaring Dragon?"
"Yeah, she bought the bubble pipe, if I remember right."
"Yeah.
Yeah, she played with it the whole time, and I think either she paid for it or I gave it to her. I don't remember which."
"What about Winter? What did she do?"
"I don't recall. Do you recall? What did she buy?"
"She didn't buy anything, but she was staring at, like, the deck of cards."
"Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure out how they worked."
"Oh, yeah. Ah, she says, yeah. That was the magnetic deck of cards. It was not magic. It was just magnets."
"She stared at it for a very long time."
This is a flashback for Natalie, not for the character. Anyway.
I'm saying that he probably was like, "Yeah, she stared at it for a very long time."
"A magnetic deck of cards for, like, almost an hour before leaving without buying anything. Or even asking about anything."
"So, yes, I will sit there and discuss with the tree for a while, and then I'll go in and I'll let Ray know that, you know."
"He's ready."
He says, "It'll I'll only be here for another 30 years or so. I'm almost done."
"I'm assuming that's almost done. 30 years. Yeah.
I'm assuming that's the tree."
"Yeah. you notice," he says, "I've been protecting Roy for 900 years.
Yeah, I did catch that. I didn't make any comments about it.
But yeah, it's a shop where if you can think of a random bullshit magical thing, they have it here. You get your endless Werther's. Seems like there is a limit to how many you can pull up per day, but you haven't found it yet. He says it isn't truly endless. It refills at a certain pace, but unless you're trying to feed the hungry with it, you'll be fine.
Sal is just going, you know, poking around at things, pick something up for about a minute, figure out how it works, put it back.
Something you'll find of interest to you is that there is a paint palette that seems that whatever paint it has nothing on it, but when you look at it, you can identify that magic, right? Have that ability.
That's what I would say. For about a minute, I sit there and look at things and then put it back.
It replicates any paint it touches perfectly. So a dot of paint will get you as much as you need. And it keeps it perfectly wet while you work it.
Nice.
The endless palette.
Alright. Definitely of interest. I'll, you know, ask him, you know, how much he'd want for it.
He says, I don't really deal in money. It's mostly in tricks and favors and things like that. What do you do?
Well, I hit things, but, I also...
So does my family. I don't really hang out with them either.
Yeah. I'll show them... I'll put down my shield, you know, I'll pull up my shield and show them the runes etched into it, and...
He lists off the exact, origin of those runes and what they mean. He says, it's fine work. I mean, it's obviously serviceable.
It seemed the least threatening option of all the things that I have with runes on them is the shield. Just...
He's such a jerk.
You know, he looks at do you have the shoulders or no? No, Lola has the shoulders. Do you have anything from the Javara Institute on you?
Nope. I didn't get anything from Javara.
You were supposed to have gotten something. No, that's where your glade came from.
No, that was...
The flaming.
That was my spark arms.
No, the flaming portion was from Javara.
Okay.
Is he anything more interesting? I can look at it. I'm not going to take it.
I mean, I'll show...
I mean, it collapses. Like
full suit up, but if he wants,
He looks over and he says, the glaive. He says, in Atlantean, it's a blade well-traveled and far older than most you see around these days.
All right.
This is interesting. Take the paint palette. You're welcome to it. It's been a while since I saw something like that.
Thank you. We'll respond in Atlantean.
He brightens up even more and he says... I wonder if they're operating again. It's the only way you'd know. I might have to dust off the old card and see what's going on.
I understand what they're saying, too, by the way.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I only know Atlantean because of you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
he reaches into his pocket and it goes way deeper than it should.
Yeah.
I'm talking like his whole, down to his shoulder, he reaches around.
Dimensional pocket.
Pulls out a... dusty blue card. He says, he flicks it and the dust pops off, and it's this brilliant, like, sapphire blue. He says, wonder what doors this will open to these days. And you read it, it says, Founder, Dravara Institute.
Oh! Well then.
Sending note to
Shinsoku.
And he says, I might have to close the shop for a few days. Maybe I can get my nephew to watch it. I heard he's back.
Who's your nephew?
You might know who he is.
Who?
He's some big shot in the States. Don't worry about it.
Do you know who this is?
Mike pieced it together.
Mike did piece it together.
You guys met him.
Yeah.
I didn't.
You have his phone number in your phone. Wait for Natalie to get it.
I'm stupid.
Blank and lightning.
Thunder? We met Thunder. It's Thunder. Gotcha.
He says he owes me a favor. Maybe he'll watch the shop. It's only be a few days, like a week or two. It's 6 months at the longest.
He'd probably be more interested in going with you.
Maybe. And he says, "Well, fantastic! You have brightened my day. Is there anything else that makes any of you brings a smile to any of your faces in here?"
Is there anything else that in here that would bring a smile to your faces?
Yeah. You gave him something interesting that he hasn't. He's real, real old.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, Chris just told him his friend's gonna die. 30 years from now, but like
somewhere within about 30 years,
is tomorrow. He's like, oh, he's kind of depressed. But then you give him something happy. He's like, oh, cool, I got a thing to be happy about. I just got yo-yoed up in this bitch.
You might want to cut this part out, but he could ask certain nephew's son to come watch the shop.
He wouldn't.
Well, Theo, he's too busy. Ask the nephew, and you know, nephew passes it on to Theo. Says, "Hey,
his nephew's nephew
got something you want to check
his
out."
His nephew's nephew.
Well, assuming Primus and Thunder are brothers,
you're right. It would be his grandnephew.
Yeah. So, hey, you want to go check out a shop, or you want to go do a favor for me in London? Do something fun for a few days.
Be fun for a short story.
Yeah.
I was like making note. That sounds like Sean Forrest story.
I'm thinking she wants something with animals. Is it bag of tricks? Pull out a little furry animal.
That'd be funny. No, that sounds like mean to the animal. You're such a goober.
but anyway, he says, I see you've got a, he talks to Murphy, he says, huh, yeah. Haven't seen one of you in a while.
Haven't seen you in a while is what he
no,
says.
Haven't seen a creature like you in a while.
Oh!
Careful what you say. It'll go right to his head.
That's also very true. You know who what he is?
Yeah.
What is he? A cat.
Yeah. Oh, but he leans in like.
No, I don't. Please play along. It affects his ego. Please don't. It affects his ego. Please. Just play along.
Can he read?
Of course he can read. Oh no.
he says, walk away. I'll tell them. Do you want to know what he is or not?
Yes, of course.
Okay, walk away. I'll tell them.
Why?
They can tell you when he's not around.
This is also true.
We could also text you.
That's also true.
Unless you display it on AR.
Murphy does have a tail ring. Mm. For AR. Because we can watch TV. He leans into the pair of you and says, that's, well, descended from one of Bastet's cats.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a temple cat.
That doesn't surprise me.
The fire breathing, you haven't seen that yet, maybe. They got a little older for that.
Nah, I haven't seen that yet, but.
He does shoot some kind of element sometimes.
Times, yeah.
Yeah, it changes depending on what they need.
Yeah.
Once they find a bonded.
Well, he found one.
Yeah, he it gets real big sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, best that. Yeah, they just call them temple cats. Or just the Bastet. After their ancestor.
Fair.
Distant relative. Distant. Like, technically related, but not really.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, your fifth cousin, you are technically related, but you probably have never met.
If you follow the family tree.
Exactly. Like, go, like, 8 roots over, and that's where Bastet is. Don't. Same species in a very thin, small pool.
Yeah.
I like to think that as he's telling them that, I'm just like, Murphy, he said that you're just a regular old cat. Like, I don't know what to tell you. He's saying that you're a regular old cat.
Yeah, they, like I said, they're just called besties. They breathe fire. They're elemental. All of Murphy's powers are explained by him being a bestet. It's not naturally her. It's just, that's Murphy's mojo. She happens to be the reason why he can access it.
What does he say? As I'm like, no, yeah, they're saying that you're just a regular old cat.
He says, you lie poorly. Always have.
Listen.
I'm descended from pharaohs.
Listen,
I'm reincarnated from pharaohs.
Oh, no, you're not. You read too many books, cat.
All right. So, he's super friendly. If you have any more questions, things you want to talk to him about it, he's all about it.
Yep.
Let
him know that when he...
Can I just give him Shinsoga's phone number? That'd be...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? Just for flavor, for fun, and we can cut this out if it's too silly, but I like to think that she's just like, I have a question for you, because you know a lot of stuff.
Lots.
And she pulls out Ted, the spirit of Ted. It could be a little spirit orb, or he could be like a little
chipmunk
creature. And she goes, so, and she like pulls him off to the side and goes, so there's something up with Ted. When he goes to attack, he misses like a lot. And I don't know why. And I'm worried about him. Do you think that I'm doing something wrong? Is he just clumsy?
Am I
taking good care of my spirits?
If you want, I can just give you a spirit totem that'll help.
A spirit totem?
He's a spirit of beasts, right?
Right, yeah.
A spirit totem should fix that right up.
Spirit totem? What would that do? What would that do, like, actually?
It would be plus one to hit and damage for your summons.
Just for the summons.
Just for the summons.
Not Murphy.
I know, not Murphy, but how much would that be?
He offered it to you. And
oh,
it'll bring you joy in the shop. That he's old and has more money than he ever knew what to do it. This shop is purely to draw people in to talk to. That's it. That's his whole purpose. It is, I would like to talk to people here. And they will come in because it is interesting.
Hmm.
He offers it to you. Yeah, it's just a necklace you wear.
Oh.
Actually, I'm going to say it's a pair of earrings, maybe. Or like an ear cuff, something
like
that.
I like a necklace.
Yeah, it's a necklace, and it has...
Is it like the little claw necklace?
Yeah, it's got three stones. A green in the middle, a blue on the side, and like a clear on the right.
Air, water...
And land.
And which one is out is glowing.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
He says, it's been laying around for, God, longer than you and your, longer than your family's existed.
Huh.
Never mind.
You know her family?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know my family?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe you do.
Maybe.
I was adopted,
I'm gonna go back,
you know,
to what I was doing, texting Shinsoku. We found somebody you may want to meet. Can we give him your number?
He already did.
I just gave him the number.
Yeah, I better to ask before you give somebody's number away. Especially when it's somebody who controls your grades.
See, the way I look at it is, I'm not going to say anything that, you know, hey, he's your boss.
It's his founder, not boss. There's a difference.
True, but, you know, technically, yes.
Take a quick picture of the card if he lets me, and send that to Shinsoku.
When you take the picture, it's just a sheen of blue, yeah.
Oh.
It's magic.
Yeah.
You gotta be in the presence of the right person for it to show up.
Got it.
Plus one to hit from...
And damage.
From totem.
It's just called a spirit... It's called a spirit totem, and it's plus one to hit with all summons. So like you took the spell spirit summon beast, and we get plus one to hit damage. And it does not work with the summon animal spell, because that's dumb. get all your wolves with your bullshit plus one to hit and damage. Fuck that.
I summon 18 pixies. They all cast 5th level spell.
The guy, Roy, looks at you guys in panic. He says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any parents, no. I don't know any family, no. Mm-hmm.
You don't know Richard's family?
Can't say it rings a bell.
Oh.
I mean, I know lots of Richards, but... Mm-hmm. Richard Nixon. Richard Fargo. Richard. He lists off like a bunch of other Richards. You have no idea who the fuck they are.
So.
I don't know. He's being really weird, right?
Eh. He owns a small shop.
Yeah.
They're all odd. I mean, come on. How many small shops have you been in? Have any of them been normal?
None of them have been normal.
I rest my case.
There it is, yeah. I know, but he's being really suspicious.
Nah, just don't worry about it.
Okay.
Besides, we're going to have to get going here shortly.
When you're visiting another country, do you expect people to know who your parents are?
No, not really, but my one dad's been here quite a lot. He even said that he's been to, like, a magic shop before in this area of town, which is the weird part.
There may be more than one.
Maybe. But in this area, it seems like there hasn't been a lot, and she just keeps rattling off.
Anyway, I'm really busy. I'm sorry.
We should get going. Yeah, they need us back.
Oh, got it.
I think I hear Bridget paging us.
I don't know, she usually pages me first, though, doesn't she? I
need you guys back at the pub for lunch. Late lunch. Well,
we're not old enough to drink.
No, it's the pub.
They still serve food.
They serve, it's the only place to get decent food in the UK.
Okay.
What are you talking about? Not untrue. Been there, done that. Well, unless really nice restaurants and the pubs. That's about it. So you guys head back to the pub, ignoring the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And head back.
Intentionally.
Yeah. As he's like, "Please, God, save me." And you go back, and you have a pretty decent lunch with Bridget. It's not phenomenal. It's not bad. It's okay. And she's like, "All right. So you guys did. I saw on the drones. You guys had some fun. You found an interesting man who definitely knows nothing about you. No. So what are you guys looking forward to tomorrow? Like, what are you worried about? You looking forward? Did you do any research before? You know, did you do any like studying before you while you're out?
For tests? I mean, yes."
It's okay.
The only way to know what's, you know, what you're coming up against. The only studying, though, that we, you know, only information we've had is,
fight.
Well.
Fight.
Well, your guys' previous mission with, in Chicago was supposed to be training for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, that thing with the pyramid, we're not supposed to talk about.
Thing with the pyramid.
Pyramid of Silence, or whatever. She put us in the little privacy dome.
Yeah. You're right.
So he's trying to avoid saying that information out loud. But my understanding was that we're not supposed to know what we're coming up against other than our basic training that we've got already.
Yeah.
If there is information that I can research or look into, I'd be happy to.
Just, I mean, if you've done any historical research on the Clash, it's usually the markers are historical sites. So, you had research on any historical sites, that would probably behoove you.
Okay. So, I'll start looking into that, roll history, I suppose.
Yeah, because you're not going to have access. You're not going to have access to the internet. Like, during the challenge. Like, that's... Right. It's monitored. Now, you can ask Dido to record them some things, because she's your personal AI, which is not cheating, technically. She's also not supposed to give you answers, but if you, like, ask, hey, I asked you for a list, could you give me the list I gave you? She could do that kind of thing.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
I know what I want to find. I just won't be able to read it fast enough. I want one of the black cab maps.
Oh, it shows everything.
Oh, yeah.
All the important sites. Anyone, people would want to go.
Oh, no, no. It shows everything, including every single back alley.
Oh. Oh.
Yes. Yes, that map.
You could get one. Yeah. Like, you're willing, you're able to bring things in. You just can't, like, within reason. It's, I think you're allowed, like, she explains, you're allowed, like, 1 11 by 17 piece of paper each.
Yeah, the map is not going to be small enough.
Unless you cut it into three.
Oh, no, you don't understand. That map is a 2-inch thick binder for London.
Oh, really? That's cool. I didn't know.
Yeah, because the if you
cabbies learn it all.
Well, the cabbies are on a 3-year learning program before they can even take
affairs.
Get into a cab. They're on motorcycles,
and they learning the city.
Learning the city.
Interesting. All right. So she's like, "Well, if I mean, I can get you a decent map, but I can't get you something like that." Is there anything else? Like, I mean, she says it is, you know, it's an early lunch, but I guess they're going to do the opening ceremonies tonight. So we do need to be back here by 5, which is in an hour. So we had tea rather than lunch, but we ate lunch.
Okay.
You guys were out sightseeing. It's understandable.
All right. I'm going to put on that little tinfoil hat. Be ready for the first one at opening ceremonies.
All right. And as you guys talk about that, we're going to kind of warp forward an hour. You guys hang out with Bridget. She gets you, you know, you guys get suited up. They go to the staging area. If you don't have a mask on, they do makeup on you. If they do, they do. Chris, they try to do makeup on you, and they're like, it would only fuck it up. We're good. She looks at you. Your skin is perfect.
Yeah.
And she says, you should be a model tomorrow. No. You'll be a model.
I could be.
Side job.
Side job? Yeah. Nah, it's not worth it.
You're wasting talent, but I respect your wishes.
I was going to make a comment, but I don't think I should.
All right.
You have more self-control than me.
At the end of the day, I'm not dumb enough?
I think they do a very tasteful job on you. It's nothing that's extravagant. It's just enough to accentuate your natural beauty. So it comes time for the opening ceremony. There, it's out in front of the London Eye, where there's a big open field where you can, you know, kind of people can gather. There's a podium set up and a stage, and they're going to be introducing the teams in the order that I have them written down. So, walking out is a man in resplendent robes with gold and silver stars on a field of dark navy, but it's cut to be fashionable. It's not like a bathrobe. It's tailored. It's a tailored robe. And you'd know this guy. At one point, he was a cape in the States when the schools were put together. He left the FSA on hiatus to go help get Avalon set up in the UK. His nom de guerre, or as all heads of Avalon will be, is Merlin. His name is Nate. You guys would know it from the FSA paperwork you've seen. He just signs Nate because people know the fuck that is. If people from season one or listen to season one remember him as the guy who helped with IA, who was the head of IA for the FSA, in case that helps ring any bells for anybody.
Oh yeah.
And so he goes out and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for gathering here for this momentous occasion." For the first time in 10 years, we're going to attempt to revive the grand tradition of the international clash. And he waits for applause, and there's decent applause. There's a gathering of probably a couple hundred people. It's nothing insane. Obviously, it's a curated group, and you see that there are agents on the buildings all around.
And open the, you see the eye, like, well, a bunch of the windows are open with sniper rifles pointed out. You know, like, they were aware that something was going to try and go down. They're going to try and mitigate it. And he says, it's my pleasure to, in these past few years, to be the headmaster for one of the schools represented here. But I, as you know, I will not be a judge. So don't, do not worry about any favoritism there. Honestly, you know that I grew up in the UK, but, or it's a well-known fact that my family is from the UK, but I grew up in the States. So I have pride for both nations. And I have, and I consider myself a citizen of the world. And you hear some gagging, because that's a stupid phrase people say. I'm a citizen of the world. And, you know, never mind. It's, that's a hang up that I know people have, some people have. And he says, well, without further ado, I'm going to introduce the competitors. From my own school, we have the team of Galahad, and a, you know, a swordsman walks out. He's wearing, you would expect, like, plate mail for the name, but no, it's like a really thin leather with a silver badge, and he has a really huge shield. With, you know, which seems to be radiating some kind of golden light. Morgana, the sorceress. Galahad the paladin, Morgana the sorceress, wears dark purple, very spooky. She barely waves once before going to stand aside. And Lancelot. He walks out, biggest grin. The only person you've seen match his grin is Chris. Genuinely, like, the biggest, like, most, hamming it up.
Sorry.
You know, very friendly looking, walks out. He's got what looks like a fucking lance on his back, along with a rapier on his hip. He says, this is the team from Avalon. And there's pretty good applause because there's a lot of people from the UK here. He says, next up, we have our friends from India, the Grid. We have, and the headmaster, Revolution! And it's a woman walks out, scars all over her face, blacked out suit, like, a super suit, and no nonsense, she walks up and she just, you know, and in her middle of her chest is like a power button with a green, and it's yellow right now. Like, her power's not active, and you realize that when it's active, it'll be green. It's pretty, she's very public about, she turns off powers. All powers within 500 feet of her just don't work. She scares the shit out of most super because she's a martial artist. And she says, my team is ready. And then she nods to Merlin and he says, thank you, Revolution. And you know, there's a smattering of applause. We have Netra, the visionary. Walks out a mousy looking girl, maybe 5 foot nothing. She's got on computers on her both arms. She's got huge goggles with, you can see screens running behind them. She waves nervously once and then darts over behind Revolution. Chaya, the shadow, a very lithe-looking woman. Indeterminate age. She's probably younger than like 20s, but she's maybe older than the other kids people there. Walks out. She does a little. There's a little cartwheel, and then a flip, and then waves. And she, when she goes, and then goes to stand next to her teammate. And then Raghu, the Titan, without exaggeration, a man with no arms and legs they've obviously been replaced by cybernetics of some kind of variety. Walks out, and he walks and he waves, and you see the muscles rippling on the rest of his body. And he pats as the first person who came out on the back, like, it's okay. And you hear, if you speak is it Sanskrit? It's not.
No.
What's the Indian subcontinent language? It's like the big one. I swear to God. There we go. Hindi. In Hindi, he says, it's okay. We're going to be okay. To her. You guys can hear that from off the side. Actually, he's so loud, everyone can hear that. He says, from our neighbors in Russia, the block, walking out is a woman dressed to the nines. She's dressing like she's on a fashion show.
stalking one, two, one. You know, like she's on a catwalk, and she says, "We have the best team." And then she snaps once, and then turns and goes to stand at the side. And anybody who knows, this is Rubella Black. She doesn't have a cape name because she's never been one. She was acknowledged as a cowl, and she served like 6 years in prison for it. But she's known as a maestro. If she does see something demonstrated once, she learned it. She can match it. Absolutely terrifying in combat. And he says, Krasnia Orla, the Red Eagle. The same girl who Athena saw walks out, long blonde hair, sleek red suit with piping, and you see like a blue wing, like a web wings, what comes out, and she floats up in the air and waves. She said, and she like does a Russian salute, which I can't remember what it looks like. But she does a Russian salute, and then she flies down and she says Chernobyl. And people go, like, they deep inhale because, you know, Chernobyl is still a thing. Even though they have cleaned up the radiation since Supers came around in the 60s. So it wasn't even that bad, really. But,
Chernobyl.
Dark gray suit leaning into the black with shoulders that glow dark green. And he shoots off a bolt of energy and his headmistress hisses at him. And he stops, turns, and perks. Like, he obviously wasn't supposed to do that. Yeah. Severny Viter, the Northern Wind. The tallest man, the tallest guy you've seen today, probably 6'8", almost 7 foot tall. That isn't Sal. As he looks at me, looks at me like I stabbed him. Short silver hair. He's got gray and silver suit with light blue accents. And he waves. A breeze sweeps out across the audience. In addition, it's just ice cold. And you see the tips of the grass frost. They bow to the audience and do it and salute again. And Merlin says, "Well, that was cool." These are the jokes, people. Then Australia comes out, and you see its head. The headmaster, Packmaster. And you guys have met Pac-Man. Well, the two, Athena and Chris, have met Pac-Master. He comes out with his two summer wolves. And they say, "We're out to have a good time." He waves and he says, "Rango, get out here." And you see Rango flies in on his boomerang. Does a flip off of it. Almost eats it. Lands it. And then waves to the crowd with his boomerang and throws it out once. Comes back. He actually goes to stand back and it lands in his hand. It's like the 6 foot long boomerang he throws. Then he says, "Dingo!" And a literal dingo comes out before he shapeshifts into a person and waves. And Lin, a barefooted native Australian woman, walks up. She waves once, and all the grass waves with her. And then she goes to stand. Yes. And he says, "And probably the most unique headmaster you'll see today, from the academy, the general." And the general, the enormous male emperor penguin, waddles out.
Does he waddle or does he slide?
I'm gonna say he he actually floats on it looks like, you're not sure if it's a tank turret. It floats on something, because he has webpokinesis, yeah. So if it's a weapon, he can lift it. So he's like, "What's big enough I could stand on it? I'll stand on a tank turret. That'll work." So he floats out. He says, we have the best team. We love to blow things up. We are the best team. Yes. Waddle, waddle. Vodka Academy. Oh, wait. Never mind. And he says, "Get out here." And you guys know Cannonball. He comes out just being his kind of Chad of himself.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. Waves. Cotton Candy comes out and she's twirling a pair of candy canes that you know that she could turn into missiles with an instant. She was always ready for someone to try and fuck this up. She waves. And then you do see Salvo come out. And she's
Well, it doesn't look nearly as together, but she looks calmer. Like, she was a wound, you know, tight lady. She comes out just comfortable. And she shoots off a little salvo of fireworks out of her shoulders. And she says, "That's the Academy." And before Merlin can say anything, two women appear on the stage and they say, "We are from Jinja." And it's Amaterasu and Kitsune. People scream when they see Kitsune.
Of course.
She laughs, but her mother scowls. And she says, "I'm Amaterasu, and I'm Kitsune. And we are the headmistresses of Jinja, the temple gardens. Please, meet Bug." And it's a, you know, the scrawny kid with the tech on his head. Looks a lot like the other technopath. they've got a look.
Yeah.
He walks up and he looks at NAR. He's like scanning the crowd for weapons, and he spots a bunch and he like tags them in AR for the people on the stage. Trenta, and a flying from up on top of the thing lands on a perfect 3-point landing. 6'3", long blonde hair that spikes up when he uses his powers. He looks like fucking Trunks from Dragon Ball Z.
With the sword and everything.
With the big ass sword and everything. He says, "Hey," and then walking and then appearing from a gate not dissimilar to what Amaterasu did is Miko. She waves, and in a Shikigami like figurines or like paper figures wave with her. Our most reclusive friends from Gaia. And a person walking out in a God's honest truth Pharaoh outfit. He says, "I am Pharaoh," and he makes the Thames wave with him behind him.
Murphy.
I know exactly. That's what I was thinking.
He has the power to control rivers. That's his whole. He could, specifically not water, rivers.
Interesting,
Murphy. Do not.
But it means he has insane control over them. Yeah. Like he made the whole river wave, like. He says,
"Some drunk guy's having a night."
it's just like the section behind him, but like, right. But it's, he made it stop, wave, and then go back. He says, "Why have with me the elements of the earth?" And he waves, and three people appear. He says, "Moto in the red, Upepo in the green and blue, and Ardi in the brown and green." And they all bow. And it's very, like, ceremonial, almost, what's the word? And you look and you can't tell what gender these people are. They're, like, androgynous to the nth, like, degree. You really couldn't pick it out.
Hmm.
Almost like they're taking on their own mental self more than anything. They're more amorphous, almost. And, they bow, and they step back. And then, last but not least, we have our second team from the States, from Cape School, and Shinsoku pops in, like, a bubble forms up. He says, "Hello."
She came out in a bubble, dog.
And I'm gonna save us the hassle of introducing the three teams. I will say that for Team 3, it is Sammy, not Bobby, who's on the team. I do have...
Makes sense.
Yeah, so because he obviously got kicked to Team 11. So they come out, and you guys are last, because you are the primary team, and...
Can we get a moment to discuss how we want to do our...
Yes, please. Well, how would you like to introduce...
All right.
So how do y'all introduce yourselves?
Okay.
I suppose this all depends on what order we get called out, right?
I was going to say...
Well, that's what we're deciding on.
True. You guys got to decide. Like, you gave them a list.
Well, I know that I want to go out on Big Murphy and then just
extra
like
Big Murphy or just regular size Big Murphy?
Regular size Big Murphy. And then he'll like pounce. Okay. So she goes out, so they call her name, and then he runs out and then he pounces onto the stage and like fire. Like when he lands.
Yeah. Burst of flames.
Yeah.
Okay. And they say, no. "Miss Athena!"
Well, or no, sorry. When you ride out there and then you just appear.
Miss Mirage. You'll be as Mirage.
That's true.
You want to go invisible to visible, or you want to be on when they ride in?
Ride in, and then, okay. So she goes out, she lands, they land, and then she, once they land, she goes invisible, and then she gets off of him, and quickly runs over, and then goes, hey! With okay. the arms out.
There, I love it. All right. Who's next? Probably Sal. Let the big finish be the guy
with the big
charisma.
Smile.
The guy with the 22 charisma. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Ended on a high note.
Yeah.
The girl that is.
It started and ended.
Age before beauty.
Started with a circus act, and now we're about to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Suppose it'd be the I'm picturing him flying out with the glaive.
Like a fire dance with your glaive?
Do a small fire dance and, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
And then land it, throw the, you know, throw a proper salute and then, you know, stamp the glaive.
And last but not least, Chimera.
I'm going to walk out with the big smile and the big wave and throw kisses and, you know, ham it up. As best I could.
Oh. Someone, you want to summon a sibling just to fuck with them? You can summon all your siblings just to fuck with them. It's for non-combat purpose. You could summon all of them.
That's true.
We have to turn around for our capes. But to show them our capes.
Of course, it's a twirl. Yeah. You can't just turn your back to the audience. You gotta twirl.
So do you turn, and each time you turn, another sibling pops out?
Revolving door.
And all of them have the same cape. Actually, no. You alternate her cape and your cape, just make sure they really get an image of it. They pop, and they each ham it up differently. I'm not gonna flavor each one, because that would be a lot of time. And, yeah. So, and they're like, there's so many of them! And they say, no. They say, and Merlin walks up. He says, no, this is a well-documented power. Chimera has the ability of duplication, but it comes out as a different person. They're like, that seems like both! There's so many people in the crowd screaming, so angry.
We get the bullshit chant going on.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
No, it's bullshit. Yeah, anyway, they get him to calm down, and you hear a high-pitched whistle for a second before there's a crack, and the whistling goes away. Then you hear three or four more the same way, and the same crack, 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 crack. It obviously something got launched at you guys. It was handled by the immense amount of security on staff. They say, well, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., starts the resurgence of the International Clash. I hope each of you looks forward to it and you root for your favorites. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.